You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Scripture reading today is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
All right, let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of being here this morning, the joy of fellowship, and the joy of studying the word. And we pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be the teacher of the things of Christ and make them real to us. To lead us into all truth. And then, Father, may we be emboldened to be good witnesses of the word rightly divided. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the folks that have gone ahead of us before and have led us in the understanding of the Scripture in this unique way in the fellowship of the mystery. We praise you for that. We pray, Father, that each need might be met this morning. And this we ask in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. And in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope everybody's feeling good. The challenge that we have today, we see in our own scripture that we read this morning in Timothy. How shall we live? You see that there in Timothy, in Peter. Chapter 3, verse 11. This is really a challenge for all of us every day. It's interesting that we have such difficulty with it. And as I was talking to our Thursday morning Bible study group, the challenge is that we are constantly fighting being conformed, or the confirmation of this world. It's this world that, and we are so inundated with everything that the world has to give us. And it's our nature. Or should I say, it's our old nature. So how's your new nature? How's your new nature? If you have a problem with it, you'll notice in our character quality for January, it's renewal. That's kind of fitting, isn't it? Here we come to the new year, renewal. And what does it say in Ephesians 4:23? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you're not taking in the Word of God, if you're not studying the Scriptures, if you're not meditating on them, if you're not praying about them, if you're not sharing them, you're going to be inundated with the world. The world is going to be everywhere there for you to see and to absorb and incorporate. I had a fellow across the street, used to live on Pinehurst, and we began to talk. Found out he was Catholic. And as I've learned in my years, most of my Catholic friends haven't got a clue about the Bible. Now, I got schooled one day by my grandson. He's Catholic. Austin, number three grandson. And so old Poppy, driving along, thought, well, let's just see where we are. Hey, Austin, how many books in the Bible? He goes, there's 77. Well, I said, well, wait a minute. I think there's 66. And he said, Poppy, he said, I've got the Catholic Bible. I mean, he schooled me on that, right? Yeah, I should have known that. But we got to dialogue about it. I didn't care about making a mistake, at least in regard to him. It wasn't a mistake. I still have my 66, and he's got his. I guess it's 77. I may have the numbers wrong there. Does anybody know how many exactly? Don't they have 11 in the Apocrypha, and that's part? Well, okay. We won't worry about it. So we need to be constantly in an active position in regard to this. If we're going to, and if you go back to verse 11, look there at that passage. You know, this is just it's kind of like a preamble to what we're going to talk about today, the day of the Lord. This is the third day in our study of the 4 days in Scripture. But verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and Peter's asking Christians at that time, he said, what manner of persons ought ye to be? How should we be? Yeah, we need to be loving. We need to be kind. We need to be persevering. We need to be self-controlled. There's a lot of things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We could start with that. Gentleness, goodness. We could go through that list. There's many things that we need to be. But the most important thing is to be renewed in our mind. And how do we get that renewal? It's not by feelings. It's not by our senses. We don't walk by sight. How do we walk? We walk by faith. And how does faith come to us? It comes from hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. You know that. And look at your life and what a challenge it is. I look at my life and what a challenge it is. I love listening to Sports Animal. I love listening to Limbaugh. I like listening to Hannity. But there's always KQCB. I can listen to John MacArthur. I can hear somebody teach the Bible. May not rightly divide it. May not understand the fellowship of the mystery. May not understand there's going to be a day of Christ. He may talk about the imminent return any day, any moment. And that's what they taught here. That's what Peter's teaching. That doesn't apply to us. If you've been with us for the last 6 or 7 weeks of the teaching on this 4 days, you know that we understand there is a day of Christ. There is a time of Elijah's return. There is a time of the restoration of all things. That time hasn't come yet. We haven't seen that activity in Israel. When we see that activity, well, we better be seeing it from glory. Isn't that what Colossians teaches? When He shall appear in glory, we shall be there with Him. That's the day of Christ. What day are we into today? We're in the day of man. What are we learning today? We're learning that man, no matter how hard he tries. Everybody get Leland's newsletter this week? And keep looking up. He's got that article. Oh, as he gets older, and as he writes, he gets just so pointed. I love it. He just goes right to the issue. See, man has never risen. Man never moves upward towards God. Man always goes down. And that's why evolution is so appealing to the mind of man. Because what does evolution show man? He can come out of the gook. He can come out of the primordial soup. And what has he done over, how does Carl say it? Billions and billions of years, man's become a Homo sapien. And he's walking now. So you see that? It's an upward progression. Man says, see, we're getting better. Yeah. We don't call them penitentiaries anymore. What do we call them? Reform. Yeah, because we're going to reform man. You're not going to take sin out of man. You can't do it. As hard as man tries. Yeah, but that's the day we're in, and that's what we see of man. We see that man continually pulls himself away further and further from God, even in the same breath trying to proclaim that he can be like God. Just like in the days of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, that effort to build that big tower in order to reach up to heaven. And before him, Lucifer. What was Lucifer's desire? To be like who? Yeah. There's only one God. There's only one. The day of man that we live in today shows us that man can never come close. Can't even come within a whisper. I mean, he's so far from God and what God wants. And we see in mankind, in our society, that when God is taken out, what happens? In the last 50 years, it's been terrible. This is a preamble, but I'm beginning to amble, I think. So let's... if we come to the day of Christ, let's go there real quick. You can, this day of the Lord we're going to get into in a little bit. But in Philippians, I want you to go back and just kind of look at those passages, because they belong to us. This is our private mail. This is what God has written directly to us. Not all Scripture is to us. All Scripture is what? For us. We're to study the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. And that is to be our study. But a lot of that's not to us. Only those 7 letters are to us. And we need to study those 7 letters. We need to know them. And here in Philippians chapter 1, we see in verse 6, Paul writing to the believers in Philippi that he says, I'm confident of this very thing. Why is he confident of it? Well, back up to verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. That's what he's confident of. Their fellowship in the good news. And that's why he can write them this letter. He can talk to them about the things that are in this letter. He says, I'm confident in verse 6 of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He who has wrought salvation in your life is not going to do a half job. He's not going to stop with just salvation. He is going to complete it. He is going to finish it. He will perform it, it says, until the day of Christ. That word performs, another word is to perfect or to complete that work. But that brings us to that day, doesn't it? The day of what? Christ. It brings us to that day of Christ, right up until that day of Christ. And then again, over in verse 10, same chapter, Paul says, I pray in verse 9 that your love abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's discernment. That's another look at how to rightly divide the Scriptures. He says in verse 10 that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense up till that day of Christ. Something happens. And we learn that something happens is that out resurrection. We looked at that. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3. He says, not that I've already been perfect over in chapter 3. Not that I'd already attained, verse 12 in chapter 3. But this is the one thing I strive for. I strive for this. Now, you guys, you younger fellas that are here today, Liam, listen up now. You come out of high school, and you're a jock. You know, you go to Norman North, or you go out here to Santa Fe and Edmond, and you're really good. And there's some colleges that are looking at you, right? Yeah, you know, they're putting you down on the list. And they're gonna maybe think about offering you a scholarship. You get to college, and you think about it. All of those guys in college on your college team were jocks back in high school, and they were all good. And it's a different story. And then from college to the pros, if you're good enough to make it to the pros, I don't know how many, you know, what you probably got a better chance of winning the lottery than you did making it in the NFL. But the level of play as you move up, it opens your eyes. You think you're really good until you get to that level where there's other people who are just as good and probably better. There's always going to be someone better. The life that we live has got to keep it in perspective. The way we do that from a rightly divided point of view, from that fellowship of the mystery, is to learn what God is doing today and what His plans are. This Paul never arrived at that point in verse 12. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But Paul says he's perfect in other places. But there was something that was lacking. He says, not that I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And I reach forth into those things which are before. I press. Do you guys press in your walk? Now, I guarantee you, I know you press in your walk of the old man. You press to subdue him. You press to conquer him. You press to overcome him. You press to anticipate him. But are you pressing, it says, towards that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? This world is in terrible shape, isn't it? This world, we look at it and day by day we wonder just how much longer is it going to last? When's it all going to blow up? And it's not just America. I mean, we see it in Europe. We see it in Asia. All the markets are starting to slow down. The GDPs, the gross domestic product in all the countries is starting to get smaller and smaller. And, you know, when's the blow up going to happen? It may not. But no matter if it does, who's in control? Okay? God's in control. God's sovereign. That's one of the wonderful things that we know about Him. All of this stuff, nothing escapes His eye, and nothing will thwart or interrupt or interfere with His plans and purposes. We know that. Okay, you got that behind you? So, what is there to worry about? Well, it's worrying about pressing towards that mark. That's your job. That's how you should live today, pressing towards that mark of the prize of the high calling. How do you do that? Well, I usually shine my shoes before I go to work. No, we're not talking about, I wear a suit and tie once a week if I'm coming to church. That's probably the only time I wear a coat and tie. If I were an IBMer back 30, 40 years ago, coat and tie, yeah, blue suit, white shirt, probably blue tie, I'm not sure. Yeah, that was the mark of how am I going to press towards the mark of the prize. I'm going to wear that suit. I'm going to go in every day and become one of those corporate executives and rise to the top. How do we do it from God's point of view? Has God always taught His people to do it? What did He tell Joshua? If you want to be successful in life. Well, go back and look real quick. Joshua chapter 1. Now, I am moving towards the day of the Lord. Just Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. There comes a time in life when this comes to you. There comes a time, and if it's in a young period of life, praise God. If it comes at a middle time of your life, praise God. Even if it comes in a time when there's calamity in your life, you still praise God. To come to this recognition, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We understand. There shouldn't be a question here about the book he's talking about. We don't apply that today we don't go into the law. We don't follow the ceremonies. We aren't tied into the rituals. But we get the purpose and the principle here. And that is to study the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1, move over there. I remember in law school, the hours I spent in books studying these big old fat books that cost hundreds of dollars. And I kept thinking, where's the time going to come for me to have some relaxation? That was the first year of law school. And thank God, I had Mac. We met for lunch one time. Actually, I met, with some of the other guys at the church. This is back probably 1776. I know some of you think I'm getting older. And we met down at that Village Inn, I think that's what it was, or the Pancake House down on Classen. And Mac, Derek, the first year law school students at Harvard. I kind of perked up. They read the book of Romans. So they read the book of Romans. He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because it is a logical treatise of point, counterpoint, point, counterpoint, point, counterpoint on the grace of God. And I went, oh, okay. So I decided that those students at Harvard, student at OCU, right? You're a grad from OCU, yeah. I could start reading the book of Romans. I started reading the book of Romans. And then that day, faithful day, was in the dentist's office, and I got to the 8th chapter. You've been in the doctor's office. You get to sit in the room for a while, and I sat there and grabbed the Gideon Bible and started reading that 8th chapter, and I got those last two verses. I'm persuaded neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, or anything else keep me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I mean, memorized 38 and 39. And then went in, got the dentist stuff done, and went back to the office, and Ben was there, my dad. I said, oh, you're not going to believe what I just read. And I started telling him, like I'm telling you, and tears began to come into his eyes. I said, Dad, what's the matter? He said, I put that Bible there 2 years ago. Bam! My life changed. Thank you, Matt, for the challenge. See, don't know when it's going to come. You don't know when God's going to say, hey, this book, you need to get into it. You need to study it. Look at you there at Psalms 1. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, that's even the old man. You can't listen to the old man. The old man loves to stir you up. The old man tells you, you have a right when you don't have any rights. Not when it comes from what God has to say. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner. You can't stand in the way of the old man. You can't walk with him. Oh, I got ahead of myself. You can't stand in that path thinking, which way should I go? The old man is a sinner. You can't be a part of that. And then you can't sit in the seat of the scornful. The old man is so easy to do that. Think of the thousands of people. Think of the hundreds of thousands of people going to church this morning, driving in the car, and they started just ripping somebody that messed them up yesterday or goofed up their week or some member of their family they're unhappy with. They're scornful. And God doesn't want us to. They're going to church, and where's their mind? We need to renew our mind. By studying this Word, we need to focus on it and concentrate on it. We need to put ourselves to it. It says in verse 2, his delight. Who's the blessed man? The new man. His delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. Okay. All that's kind of just to kind of set up the fact that we need to study this book. That's how we live this life. This is where we learn the things that we're supposed to learn. My neighbor kind of bring this whole thing back to the circle from the Catholic point of view. We were talking, and finally I realized, you know, a good thing to do, I was there on Pinehurst sharing with him, and he was a successful guy. I mean, he was a golfer too. It's probably helped him be successful. A lot of deals worked out on that golf course. I told him, I said, you know, Proverbs has 31 chapters. He said, really? I said, yeah, Proverbs got 31 chapters. I said, one chapter for each day of the month. You know, you could read that. You never know in life if anything's going to work in somebody's life. Probably doesn't. But once in a while it does. Like, you know, Derek, those first-year law school students at Harvard read the book of Romans. Okay. The day of the Lord follows the day of Christ. The third day in our study of the 4 days in Scripture. The day of the Lord. What an amazing day that is. What is it? What a day that everyone looks forward to. Everyone believes in the return of Christ. There's not one Christian that isn't looking for that. And many of us more imminently than the rest of us. Many of God's people are looking today, just like they did at the first century. Many of the early church fathers We're looking for the imminent return. And it didn't happen. It's amazing how much Petrine theology from the first century, even until now, is being taught and was taught. And not Pauline theology, not the study of Paul and his epistles, and particularly those epistles that were addressed to the church of the one body. There is a distinction. It's interesting. That church Christ is the head of. We learn about that only in our prison epistles in Ephesians. The day of the Lord was something that Peter wrote about. Right here. Come back to our scripture reading for today, 2 Peter. The day of the Lord, Peter wrote about it. It's not the only time that it's referenced in the New Testament. It's referenced depending on how you count. You could say it's referenced 6 times in the King James, in the AV. But some of those aren't a reference to it. But here in Peter, we see the reference in 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. I've had some people say it's only referenced 4 times, and some people say that it's a couple of the other references, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that's a reference to the day of Christ. And so now Bible scholars have a problem because it's the Lord Jesus Christ or the day of Christ that we find in Philippians, or it's the day of the Lord in Thessalonians. Lord Christ in Thessalonians, that they begin to say, okay, now what day is the day of Christ? And just for not to go into it too deep, but the answer is that there are really 2 thoughts that Christians have today. I better condition this because it's premillennialists that have these thoughts. You know, there's postmillennialists. You familiar with the postmillenarian point of view? That really comes about because after the first century, the Christians were sitting around still waiting for the return of the Lord, and He didn't return. And so that began to kind of fade from their thought. And you can see why. After 100 years, 150 years, 200 years, and you're going, where is His return? Where is that second coming? And that's what everybody's looking for. And not just the second coming, they're looking for that event. What event? Why, that event Paul wrote about, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who remain and are alive shall be caught up. There's that word, caught up. Rapturo. The rapture. Those 2 events. It then became popular for a long period of time that those were the same event. The rapture and the second coming. You see the difference? And then you can see how they come together. And now there's explanations because the pre-millennial view, which we understand to be the rapture, the tribulation, and the millennium, the pre-millennial view has 3 different views to it. There is the pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Okay. Y'all kind of got that set up? You got that? All right. That's not going to spend a lot of time looking at that. We'll look at a couple of verses. Well, let's look at a couple for the pre-trib rapture, which is probably among evangelicals the most common. They've gone back to the imminent. They've gone back to the teachings of James. They've gone back to the teaching of John, the teaching of Peter during the Acts period. But if we look at a couple of them, go to 1 Corinthians. And I'll say the day of the Lord is something that's all over the Old Testament. Isaiah in chapter 2, and don't go there. Yeah, you go to 1 Corinthians. Is that where I told you to go? Okay. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 13:6, howl, howl, or wail ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord comes in cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now think about it. Just in those three passages, we've seen the proud and lofty are going to be brought down and brought low. We've seen the day of destruction from the Almighty. We have seen wrath and fierce anger. Joel chapter 1, verse 15 says, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. And Joel chapter 2 says, the day the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Malachi. This is one of the ones that helps us kind of put things in it in the proper framework. Behold, I send Elijah before, and what does he call the day of the Lord? The great and terrible day of the Lord. Every reference is it's destruction and wrath and anger and judgment, and that is the day of the Lord. Where were we? 1 Corinthians? What chapter do I have you in? Chapter 15. Sorry if I said 12, I meant 15. Shoot, I'm just happy I remembered where I was. Start taking brain pills. Notice in chapter 15, and the resurrection chapter, it's always around Easter time that we go back and we look at this resurrection. Verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Every man in his own order. And that tells you that there's an orderliness to this. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. There it is. The resurrection. Rise again. Well, that's what Martha said. Yes, I know. I know that my brother shall rise again in the last day. It was something that was well known and understood. And here it is at Christ's coming. At Christ's coming. Now look at verse 51. It's amazing how these can be used in either pre-trib or mid-trib or even post-trib. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, Paul writes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When? The last trump. But wait a minute, there's a semicolon there. What follows? For the trump. Now, he doesn't say the last trump, he just says the trump. Is that the last trump he just referred to? Or is that a trump? And if it's just a trump, then maybe it's not the last trump. And you know what the trumps are. You remember that vision in heaven and who is worthy to take the scroll and who is worthy to open it? And there is the Lamb of God. And there is our Lord and Savior, Christ. He is able to take the scroll and he opens it. And when he opens it, there's seven seals. And the seven seals, oh my goodness, it's all that fierce anger. It's that destruction. It's that wrath of God. I don't want to go through that. Do you want to go through that? I mean, if you go back and look at it, you know, those four horses and pestilence and famine and disease. And this is when I wanted to go to that and look at it, but we're not going to. I want you to look at a couple more of these verses. Let's go over to Thessalonians. A similar type passage. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and can claim that other verse, the seventh trump, or just the trump. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I would not have you ignorant. There is an issue. There was a cloudiness about what was going on. I mean, you know, I've got friends who, I've got my brother and my mother and my dad, they died. what's going to happen to them? And he said, I would not you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that's dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain at the coming Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with what? The trump. Is it the last trump? Doesn't say last. Is it the first trump? Doesn't say that. And maybe it's just a trump. We're not talking Donald. Someone back there, they knew I was going to say that. It's not in my notes. It's ad lib. And with the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, the post-millennialists, the problem that they have, along with other problems, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hermeneutics, in other words, how they approach the Scripture and how they interpret these things, has a great bearing on how they answer. Most post-millennialists come from the fact that they can't believe in a premillennial position. They find too many holes in it. You know why? It's right here. It's right there. 2:15. There's no right division on that. They don't understand. They don't see that the things that they pull out of James, the things that they pull out of Corinthians, the things they pull out of Thessalonians in the Acts period, the things that talked about the imminent return and the kingdom returning and the restoration all belong to Israel. And that at Acts 28, God brought this division down. A new dispensation began. And Israel was set aside. See, once you see that, I mean, it just opens up. It's amazing how vivid it is. You know, it's like having HD TV. It's just, that's just an analogy. It's not any more than that. It's just so easy to understand how these things can be compartmentalized. Isn't that what dispensation's all about? You know, Mack used to say that book was like a tackle box. A fisherman. You know, you remember that? And you open it up, there's little compartments for everything. You got your lures and your hooks and you know, everything's in there. It's got its proper place. It's got its proper use. And then it's not like, what was the other? Combination salad. Everything thrown together. He said it's a 7-course meal. That's what right division is like. And that answers that post-millennialist or millenarian view. And now the pre. All of these passages, we do have the seventh trump. We do have the trump. We go to Revelation real quick. Chapter 1 deals with the risen, ascended Lord, and it talks about His message to the churches. And chapters 2 and chapters 3, I want you at chapter 4. Chapters 2 and chapters 3 are these letters addressed to these churches. And then in chapter 4, John, in this revelation, this unveiling of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. In His unveiling, He says, after these letters, He says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Or 4, verse 1. And the first voice that I heard was as it were, of a what? A trump. So here we are, before all of that anger and that wrath is and the seals are open, and the trumpets are blown, and the vials are poured out, and we don't even know what the thunders are. You know, there's seven thunders, and those are sealed up. He can't even talk about the seven thunders. Yeah? Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook. No, I'm just... just seeing if everybody's still with me here. But you see, the heaven is open, and there's a door, and this is another pre-trib position for the rapture. This is John being caught up, and so the church is caught up. I mean, back up to chapter 3 in Philadelphia, the church to Philadelphia. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, in the message to the church at Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to them that dwell upon the earth. There's another casual reference that you'll see some of the pre-tribbers, you know, say, he's going to keep them. They're not going to go through that. That's that whole hour of temptation. They're not going to be exposed to it. And then chapter 5, I think we looked at these once before. Chapter 5, there's another one here. It says, verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Why, that's us. That's the church. See, we're already in heaven. I mean, that's their passion, not mine. But look at verse 10. And has made us unto God what? Kings and priests. Now, wait a minute. Who's our kings and priests? So we can go all the way back to Exodus chapter 19. And we can go back to Revelation chapter 1. This is Israel. So this is pointedly Israel. And who shall reign on the earth? Yeah, what did John the Baptist come declaring? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? They're reigning on earth. They're looking forward to that. This is the climax of that day of the Lord, that, you know, when the consummation of it is the establishment of a 1,000-year reign with Christ ruling on the throne of David. And the end of his kingdom will not be. It'll be forever and ever and ever. It goes. That was the angel's declaration in Luke. Okay. I'm going to quit. It's 12 o'clock. I'm gonna wrap this up next week. I'm gonna be gone the week after. That would be the 27th. And Wayne's gonna take the month of February, but he's gonna start January 27th. But I will wrap up this 4 days next week. We'll finish looking at this day of the Lord, kind of scoot on through it to the day of God, and we'll bring this teaching to a close. And then Wayne's gonna take 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then all the month of February, and that's going to be fun. Really enjoy his teaching, and I think everybody gets a blessing out of it, so look forward to that. Now, we're going to close with prayer. We won't do the song because we have a treasurer's report. Chris will come up after we close with prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of the scriptures, the challenge. Just the challenge. It's so individual. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But we know, Father, Paul wrote, that it's you who works in us, both to will and to do. And what a battle that is. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of knowing how much you love us and how you care for us. You're going to accomplish the purpose that you have for my life, for the life of everyone from Liam on up. When we thank you for the joy of being able to see as each of us grows in your grace and your knowledge, know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son. We thank you in his name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website, can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.